Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication call-in show on LA Talk Radio. I am Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of our own world-renowned psychotherapist, Dr. Pat Allen, for more than 50 years. Tonight we have Patricia Eldridge, Dr. Pat's collaborator for almost 25 years on the show with Dr. Pat Allen, as Dr. Pat is transitioning into retirement. Patricia is an author, dream analysis, and transactional analyst. Patricia will help you better understand Dr. Pat's teaching. Before we get started, please write down the call-in number to get Dr. Pat's answers and guidance on your relationship questions and issues. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815. If you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the callback number after calling the station. The WAN Institute currently offers help and guidance with communication tools, and we currently offer an ongoing monthly ladies group facilitated by Dr. Pat Allen, myself, and Kelly Ward. If you want information regarding the monthly ladies groups, please email me at info@drpatallen.com. That's info@drpatallen.com, or call the office at 949-723-0338 to sign up. And now let me turn you over to Dr. Pat Allen and our host, Patricia Eldridge.
Hi, Pat. You're here.
Hi.
Here we are again, and I want to say it's great to be here with you, and as always, you have so many tools to teach, and first of all, I want to ask you if you can have some opening words for our audience that...
My opening words is that what I do in my office, when I'm in an office or when I'm here, is I fulfill a commitment. And the commitment is, if God will give me a good life, I would take care of myself better. At the time, I was a practicing alcoholic. I weighed 205 pounds. I was on the way to dead. And guess what? That was 51 years ago. So I said in that meeting with God, if you will give me a life that I enjoy, I will work for you for the rest of my life. What do you think?
Well, Pat, you have held up your commitment like I've never seen anybody before. You have, other than the Queen of England.
That's good.
So you have held your commitment to helping others and serving mankind in helping people improve their own lives. So
totally.
One thing I want to ask you, you've always taught that men should be respected and women should be cherished. Do you want to tell us more about that?
It's because their neural brain is built. Men are built to be intuitive. If you want to read a book that Eric Byrne, transactional analyst, creator, Intuition, by Eric Byrne. So
yes.
Men are, their brains are built for it. If you want to read a book that really impacted me, the book is called The Brain That Changes Itself.
That's right, by Matilov.
Pardon?
By Matilov.
Norman Deutsch.
Deutsch. Oh, that's Norman Deutsch, right. So that
Norman Deutsch.
And why you taught that men should be respected and women should be cherished.
Because women run their lives on their neurotransmitters. You know what a neurotransmitter is?
That's right, in the brain.
It's actually housed in the oxytocin. There's basically seven of them, and what they do is women's brains are built, they have a neurotransmitter mechanism from the right lobe and one from the left lobe. Now, the right lobe in your brain is built to feel, and you know you're feeling, and the energy that goes through.
We have a caller.
I think that was Pat got disconnected.
Oh.
But we can talk. We do have a caller coming in. I saw Pat accidentally got disconnected.
He'll give her a call back. Oh, there she is. She joined. Yes.
Yeah. I'll, as soon as I know you're gone, I'll call you back.
Very good. Okay. So we're talking about cherishing and respect and the neurotransmitters from the and the corpus callosum, which is the membrane that connects the two halves of the brain.
That's exactly right. So that's why men say things like, oh, come on, honey, you're smarter than that. Can't you put together, do you see? Right, ladies?
Right.
I imagine there's been a couple that have had that.
Right.
Whereas, so I studied with Eric, I didn't study with Eric Byrne. I studied Eric Byrne's transactional analysis, which basically I took to teach people how to negotiate with love and respect.
Right.
Respect is left lobe. Cherish is right lobe. And there's neurobiological connections.
Oh, we have a caller.
Thank you. Hello, caller. You're on live with Dr. Pat.
Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you?
I'm just fine. Oh, so how are you?
Good to hear.
What do you have for us?
I'm doing well. So, I do have an official girlfriend now. We have been going out.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Oh.
Yes. And she has a lot of the, she doesn't use exactly the word passive, patient, and vulnerable, but even in the beginning, she brought up, you know, her desire to be submissive. So I'm like, all right, this might be on the right track. And she definitely likes being led. And again, it's hard to find women that seem like they're naturally that.
If women have read my book, Getting to I Do, they know what track it is.
Well, yes. But hey, when I listen to the call, it's women who have read your book who don't who are looking to make a change. But I think it's something that she has naturally, and I certainly like a lot of things about her, and even though she's coming a little bit of a distance, she's certainly making her effort to see me. So a week or two ago, I told her a couple of things, you know, about me, so she could make an educated decision. But we certainly did our negotiation, and so far so good. So she'll be coming back here. She'll be coming back up here tomorrow.
That sounds marvelous. So, did you touch her?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no, since we're in a committed relationship, that means we can do intercourse, and I didn't do intercourse until we were at that point.
That's marvelous. That's really marvelous. That's what making love. There's a big difference between intercourse scientifically, you know, and making love and having sex. That's one of my major concerns in helping people negotiate that. There's only three ways to negotiate. One is intimidation with fear. In TA, we call that the critical parent part of your brain. Then there's the guilt and shame, submissive part of you that basically wants to guiltify people and shame them into submitting. And then there's negotiating between the four of you. You know who the four are? A man has a masculine body, but he has a feminine soul called the anima. Women have female bodies, but they have male souls called the animus. So what you're telling me is that you negotiated, the four of you, the two men and the two women, okay? And what you came up with was monogamy, continuity, and your long-term goal for the relationship was similar, right?
Yes. I mean, I did explain to her what I want and what my situation is. And I don't think it's for everybody, but she was very agreeable to it and, you know, going the extra mile to come up here because I will hopefully come down there sometimes, but that will be difficult. So I did spell that out. And then, of course, thanks to you, I wanted to make sure that she knew more about me and that we spent some time together before I went for anything like intercourse because I didn't want to get into that bonding situation.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Were you going to... You're saying the word intercourse, which is a marvelous scientific word, but that isn't the relationship word. Were you wanting to make love to her, or were you trying to have sex with her?
Well, I wanted to make love, and we did, but before we had sex, I wanted to make sure that that we talked about some big stuff. So for the sex stuff, it's like, okay, we're still getting to know each other and feel how things went out, but because of you, I was very mindful not to push intercourse, you know, so you don't have that that bonding before you
know.
Do you know
why? Because intercourse is too close to sex, not close enough to making love. Women know when you're making love to them by your touch. Ashley Montague's book, Touching, is a great book about it. When you men touch us like we're objects, we know you're using us as objects. When you make love to us, we feel it in your fingers. We feel it in your body. So I'm going to correct you when you say something that bumps into my theory, okay?
Okay, I'm certainly willing to listen, but the way I saw it between us was making love first before we got to sex.
Making love first?
Do you mean, caller,
yes.
Are you trying to say you did not have sexual intercourse? You had some, you did some play, foreplay?
Not immediately. We waited a while, and that is, you know, that's the way that I do it. And Pat stuff has certainly helped.
Wait a minute.
Be focused on that.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me you had sex with her first before you made love to her?
Okay. So I know you make a distinction between sex intercourse. So I'm making that distinction too. I'm saying that we had sex, which is more of the intimate touching, and then had intercourse later after we, you know, decided to be in a committed relationship.
But when you touched her, did your penis go in her mouth, anus, or vagina?
Not for more than a month. Not at the beginning.
So that's foreplay. You were testing the waters with foreplay without intercourse.
Yes, which I consider the difference between intercourse and making love / sex.
Well, making love in Pat's world, Pat, do you want to describe the difference?
The difference between making love and having sex, intercourse, is that your feelings impact your touch. See,
well,
what I'm doing here, this
happening.
Is... What?
I think that was happening.
Okay, did you get to put your penis in her mouth, anus, or vagina before you made love to her?
Before you made a commitment. Before making a commitment.
No.
Okay.
So as you say... Go ahead.
I really appreciate your willingness to let me teach a lesson through your maneuvering, because you're doing fine, but I want to leave a message that says you make love with touch. Once you go to the intercourse stage, you're having sex unless you're making love with your touching. So did you do it that way?
I think I did the latter, which was more sensual touching and not, as I say, intercourse happened, after we were in a committed, we decided to be in a committed relationship.
Pat,
okay.
It sounds like he did wonderful foreplay and exploration without intercourse before.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it.
Very good.
Please remind me of your name.
Brian.
That's Brian.
Brian, I'll never forget it. And I'm so grateful you called.
Okay.
Well, you've certainly helped me in a big way, and I'm certainly grateful for what you guys do and the positive messages that help me stay on my course and give
you
more good reasons to be on it.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much. And
Ashley Montague, Touching.
Yes. Touching, wonderful book.
Ellen,
Getting to I Do, everybody. And while we're waiting for the next caller to come in. Oh, here it is now. Caller, are you there? Do we have that caller? Okay, they came and went. So,
hello.
Yes, hello. Hi.
Oh, hi. We're on the Pat Allen Show.
You're live with Dr. Pat.
Oh, great. Hello, Dr. Pat.
Hi there.
Hi. My name is Nick.
What can we do for you?
Well, here's the thing. I have listened to your show and studied your work somewhat, and my wife likes to give me orders, okay, even when I am not asking for help or directions. It's not exactly bossing me, but she kind of preempts me and says things that are sometimes obvious, sometimes things I'm going to do. So how do I communicate to her in a way that is not hurtful and still I cherish her, of course? Do you have any advice for me on that?
I sure do. Would you please give me an example of what she's saying that triggers you?
Well, okay, it could be anything trivial. Like we're driving home, and she'll say, make a right here. And, of course, I know we're going to make a right there.
Now, what is the relationship between you and she?
It's his wife.
Yes, I'm married. We're married. We're in our sixth year and happily married, I have to say. But there is this little annoyance, I would call it. So I'm just wondering what advice you would have that I can let her know that she does not have to give me orders or instructions, especially about things that she should know I already know. You know, like a simple example of driving home.
Are you a man or a woman?
Well, the last time I looked in my pants, I am a man. Yes. I am a man.
Your voice sounds masculine.
I am a man. I have male genitalia, and I identify as he. And
I was reaffirming it in case anybody else thought that she was a woman and you were a woman too. And I was going to congratulate you because today they just made it okay to have same-sex marriages.
Pat, yes. His question is, how does he handle the wife that is giving him directions and orders without asking?
Okay. But
yeah, is there a way that I...
Brian?
Yes.
Do you
it's not
be
Brian and Mick? It's not Brian. This
no,
is not...
I'm Mick. This is Mick.
It's Mick.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand. So she's telling you how to drive the car.
Yes. She gives me directions and orders,
but
most of the time when I don't need them.
I've got to ask a couple of questions. Do you
yes,
want
doctor.
To be respected first and cherished second? Or do you
yes.
want to be respected first and cherished, did I say second?
Yeah, I want to be respected, Dr. Allen. Yes, yes.
Okay. And so have you told her that you want to be respected?
Well, I haven't said it in those ways, I admit. You know, I've said, come on, I know where I'm driving.
I don't think, caller, I don't, you're not familiar with Pat's tools.
Yeah,
Pat, do you
but
want
I'm,
to gonna, give him the tools?
I'm going to teach it to him now.
Good.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Does she want to be cherished? Does she like to be cherished by you?
Yes, she is very feminine, but she's also a businesswoman, so she is very strong also.
She's androgynous. You're androgynous.
I'm a businessman too, yes. We're both in individual businesses.
You're both masculine, respectable, and you're both feminine, cherishable. So this is what you say to her. Honey, I appreciate your leadership, your directions, but it feels disrespectable. Do you mind if I ask you to get permission before you mother me?
Okay, but do I say that, for instance, Dr. Allen, while I'm driving the car even? Or when do I say that is my question.
When she says, drive left.
I see. Right then. You're saying just catch it and say it right then.
Or you tell her, here's what I want to tell you. These are my tools. And if you want to read the book on that, it's A Man's World and a Woman's Universe. It's got the tools in there. Now, here's what you do. Mm-hmm. Honey, I want to ask you to do something for me that will help me feel respected and good. Are you willing to hear what I have to ask? what would she say?
We have a good relationship. I know she would say yes. Yes, dear.
Okay,
yes.
Then this is what you say. I absolutely know that you're a bright woman and that you can do everything I can do. The difference here is I don't want to be treated like a student, a son. I would really appreciate it if you would say, honey, I have an idea about how to drive right now. Are you willing to listen to it?
So you're saying I should... Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt.
What,
you're saying I should kind of teach her the technique right there?
What you should... That's cherishing her. When a woman is cherished, her feelings are respected too.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Remember,
yes.
Remember what I said. Do you want the name of a book about the souls?
Okay, sure. Sure, please.
Here.
I'll write it down.
I appreciate you calling. It's called The Invisible Partners by John A. Sanford. Here's what it says. How the male and female in each of us. Got that? Everybody's
okay.
Male and everybody's female. It's who's talking out of the mouth that I'm dealing with. Got it?
Okay. Well, I do intellectually, but still, you
would
know, it's hard
you, would
to
you
know.
Look, dear, would you be willing, when she teaches you something without permission, would you make an appointment to ask her to make an appointment?
Okay,
honey, I have an idea.
I
have an idea how to do the windows. I have an idea how to do the furniture.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean?
And ask her for permission to discuss the subject.
Yes. Now listen to this one.
Go ahead.
Here, you will be so amazed when you treat a woman, honey, I have an idea about that dress you're wearing. It's sensitive. Are you willing to hear what I have to say, even if it's sensitive? Got what I'm saying?
I see. So you're saying I should ask permission and she should ask permission before we make, let's say, comments about each other or advice.
God bless you. God bless you.
Okay.
You'll call at the time of driving, if it's in the moment, you simply say, darling, I appreciate your input. However, right now, it's not a good time as I know what I'm doing and we'll do it. We'll discuss it another time on how to navigate. But if it's in the moment, you have to say, I appreciate your input, but not now, basically.
Well, isn't there a question at the end? I think, is that what you're saying, Dr. Allen? That,
yes.
And so then I'll say, can we discuss it later? Like that? Is that okay?
That's true. And she says, no, I want to do it now.
Okay.
And you pull over in the car and you do it.
Okay.
I'll
try that.
The more she respects you, the more you'll feel cherished. Did you hear what I said?
The more she respects me, the more I feel cherished.
And the more she feels cherished, the more she feels respected.
I see. Okay. Well, I'm trying to learn this. Of course, you know, I am an alpha male too, so... It's a little, you know, difficult
You know my work.
Yes, I'm familiar. Sure, I've listened to the show. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for doing so.
Okay. Thank you for that advice.
Thank you.
I'm going to try that. Thank you again, Dr. Allen.
Thanks for calling.
Call again.
Call again.
I will. Thank you so much.
Okay, caller.
Yes?
For all you new listeners out there, the number is 323-203-0815. And Dr. Pat is here with you live. And
we have another caller.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, they just went off, I think.
Oh, that was the one that left. Okay. Oh. So why is it important, Pat, that people pick a position in regards to that?
It's called temperament. You're born with a temperament, and I want to give you more books.
Oh, you see, we have a caller.
There's a caller. Oops, where'd they go?
Yep, nope, they're there. Caller, you're live.
Hi.
Hi.
What can we do for you? Do you have a question for Dr. Pat? She's here.
Yeah, Dr. Pat, I have a question. What's the best way to cut to the chase when you're starting to date again? You know, as far as like compatibility.
When you're starting to date again after a breakup?
Yeah, like, you know, I want to cut to the chase. Do you want kids? Do you not?
When you mean
cut to the chase, you mean, do you want to get, if you're on the same page with what you want, what you both want out of life?
Yes.
That's what
then
they want.
Mm-hmm. The first, here's what you do. When a man says, I want you to come home with me, I want you to sleep with me, you know, will you? And you say, I will, if we're in a monogamous, continuous, marriage-bound relationship.
And okay. She wants to know how she gets to whether it would become marriage-bound if they're on the same page with their goals in life.
That's what they do. First of all, you listen to my show, you read the books that I write or refer to. What I'm teaching you is transactional analysis, because beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Masculine is do good to feel good. Feminine is feel good to do good. So when a feel good and a feel good get together, I don't like that. Well, I don't like that either. Equality is not built for intimacy. Intimacy is waltzing. Competing is doing a tango.
Don't compete.
Yes, caller. I want you to specify, Pat, I think she's wanting to know how to get to the point that you call
it. To get to the point is,
do you want kids?
Look, I will say it now. When he asks her for any form of sexuality, she says, I'd love to make love with you.
That's not what she's asking. She wants to know if they're on the same page of having children, having a house, having pets.
Wait a minute. We got to start out with the major questions. The first question is, I love it that you want me sexually.
Nobody wants me sexually. Nope, that's not the question. I'm just on a dating app, and the first thing I want to tell these guys is, hey, I want to have kids, but I don't want to come off as like, hey, I want to have kids right now, you know?
You're not saying you want to have kids with any particular person. That's just a life goal.
Correct.
Here's a question. You ask him, do you want me to follow you or lead you?
Okay.
If he says, why don't we do both? That's fine, except you can't drive on the right side of the yellow line in America and England. let me just ask you personally, do you want to be respected or cherished by the man?
Cherished.
You want to be cherished? Then please ask him what he thinks, what he wants. And if you don't like it, say, you have every right to do that, but I don't feel comfortable doing it. Are you willing to consider so-and-so? Are you familiar with my work?
Yes.
Okay. Then these are the tools.
No, I understand the tools.
I know what you want. Here, caller, let me intercede here. She's wanting to get to the point on the dating apps and weed out the people who do not. Are you saying you want a family? You want children?
Yes.
You want children. It's perfectly fine to state that you want children in your life on your bio, on your apps. And then people who don't want children will not be attracted to you.
That's right.
Okay.
Here's what it is.
Thank you.
When they want sex, you want monogamy, continuity, and similar goals.
Similar goals. So you find that out. You state that in the beginning of your dating, that what your life's goals are, to see if you have similar life goals before you even get to the sex part.
Okay.
And call us back and report, which we're just starting to do this.
Very good. Okay. Very good. Okay. Any other questions, caller?
No. Thank you so much.
Very good. State what you want in general, and you'll attract the people who have similar life goals.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay. Well, Pat, I want you to tell the audience why it is important that people pick a position in regards to the masculine and feminine.
Because life is continually presenting complex questions. Do you want to be respected or cherished first?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want kids? Do you not want kids? And the best thing I can really say to you is read the book, Getting to I Do.
Getting to I Do has all the tools, and Pat explains that you want to pick a position of either being in the masculine position, whether you're male or female, gay, straight, or lesbian, or if you want to be in the feminine position, gay, straight, or lesbian. So complementary positions will attract. Right, Pat?
Yes. Equality is for fighting. Equity is for loving.
Right. So
remember, how many people are in every relationship? Mother, dad, anybody. How many human beings are in there?
Four.
Four. He's got a male body, but a female soul. She's got a female body, but a male soul. And that body sometimes talks from its body. I don't like this. I don't want this. Or it talks from its feelings.
Right. We have a message coming in on a text, and a person is saying they're not happy in their relationship, and how and when to exit. And I know that you have a wonderful quote, which is stay until you've learned the lesson and can't anymore. So can you talk a little bit about staying until you can't stay?
Well, I didn't finish my statement of be aware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Mm-hmm. Be aware of your habits because they'll have you being masculine, feminine, or both, which is narcissism. Be aware of your habits. They become your destiny. And that's there's two big deals. We're trying to make our living and survive, and we're trying to survive joyously. So with that in mind, we've got to negotiate.
Okay, well, we had a technical difficulties here, but we will be back on that one. In the meantime, for those of you new to listening to our show, 323-203-0815 is the call-in number. And Sue is always bringing in people to the groups. And
Yes, I can do a little spill. Me and Dr. Pat Allen and Kelly Ward, we do have ladies groups that we offer monthly. It helps the ladies get... I help them get into getting the dating apps, how to get into dates, asking for what you want, how to pick good men. It's basically I walk you through to get you hopefully into a good committed relationship. A lot of the women do not know how to communicate and be feminine, and I walk you through those steps with Dr. Allen's tools, teachings, and then hopefully you get what you you desire, a healthy masculine man.
Okay, great. Thank you for that, Sue. And
please, I also want to say, please stay tuned for the second half of the show. If you're out there listening, Patricia will be doing dream interpretation, which is very interesting.
How to get to your subconscious. I teach people how to be in touch with their own sixth sense. So we will get to that later on. And... in the meantime, I want to...
I didn't finish my statement on temperaments.
Oh, the temperaments. Thank you.
Everybody has a temperament. There are 16 different temperaments, and the books are Please Understand Me by Marilyn Bates and David Kiersey. Take the test and find out what your temperament is so that you can pick somebody that fits you. If you're too equal, you'll be fighting. If you're equitable, you'll be waltzing. I teach waltzing when you're negotiating.
Okay. Pat teaches waltzing when you're negotiating as opposed to slam dancing. Okay, so that's one of her quotes. And yes?
You were finishing yours? Yeah, no, I already finished mine.
Yes. So I want to ask you, I don't want to ask you, there's a caller in texted about when to exit a relationship if you are not happy. And I know that one of your quotes in your work is stay until you've learned the lesson and can't stay anymore. Can you talk
to me
about that?
I'm going to give a book.
Good.
When the body says no.
Oh, yes.
By Gabor Mate. M-A-T-E, umlaut. Do you understand that illness, 95% of all illness is based on stress? You're pumping in too much cortisol. Your body and your brain are not working. What I'm telling you is, if this is the first time you've ever heard me, I understand the confusion. Please.
Okay, we are having technical difficulties.
Yes, Pat. There's a lot of dropping with Pat. There's one thing that I had some callers ask me about.
Hello.
Here she's back on.
Okay.
I want you to know that what you're, all of you that don't know me, please let us have a shot at helping you learn to waltz and love each other. Because right now there's too much fighting.
Let me interject here, Pat. Something you always say is, why do you say that women should hang up their plastic balls at the office before they come home?
Well, that's the next question. Are you a career man or a man with a career? Are you a career woman or a woman with a career? Is your family and your home first and your career second? Or is your career first and your family second? If your career is first, make sure you have a mate, a man or a woman, that wants a family. Then you can waltz.
Right, because you will be complementary forces.
Not equal.
Right.
Equality is good for fighting on football fields and stuff, but it's not good in the bedroom. Trust me.
And why do you, that must be why you say it's a man's world and a woman's universe, the title of your last book?
And the reason that it's that men are interested, let me put it another way. They're the two biggest addictions are money and sex. Men are very prone to being do good to feel good humans. Women are very prone to be feel good to do good. And that's the neurotransmitters that are in your gut.
And that's why you want people to pick a position. Do you start out in the masculine position and have the feminine be your primary position and your masculine be your secondary position? And your, if you want to be in the masculine position primarily, then your feminine is secondary.
And that's okay, because between the two of you, you do all of it. I want to announce that yesterday I heard on some station that men are having so much trouble being men today because women are absolutely doing it. So I just want whoever's listening to me, please listen to what I'm teaching.
Right. Okay. Please listen to the tools, and where you can get those tools is in the Want Institute groups that you can find info at drpatallen.com. And hello, are you here?
Yeah, I'm
no,
here.
I think she got, I think she's
here. She's here now.
I'm here. I every time I see the button on my phone, I get it. We have to tell the audience.
Don't press
our. This is our second time at bringing us to the audience to educate them to love one another with respect and love.
Correct. So, and that being said, for the women out there, Pat, you always also liked saying, don't criticize and don't rescue. Work on yourself.
Women get what they want out of life by knowing what they don't want and not being mean when you say so. Honey, I really appreciate that you want to paint the house black, but I'm not comfortable living in a black house. So do you want to live with me or do you want to live with a black house?
Without me.
Well, that's what it means. You know, I'm listening, Patricia. I'm Pat, and she's Patricia. I'm Dr. Pat. She's Patricia.
Right. It's okay. I've been told I'm mini me. Okay.
No, you're magnificent. Oh, totally. Okay. You've got a wonderful feminine and a wonderful masculine, and you live. I respect you and I cherish you.
Well,
so what I'm saying is, and Sue, my darling daughter, second daughter out of four, is basically, she is the office manager and trained.
And group leader.
And multitask all the group stuff, all the Wine Institute information. I also help people. They usually send me emails and I help them with general quick questions as well.
Yes.
What I want the audience to know is we're just getting together as a team to train as many human beings as we can to love and respect each other.
And you have done a magnificent job, and I say millions, but at least thousands of people have been helped by this work, and we will carry it on. So
we're going to carry it on right now as we're doing it until enough people are doing it to make a difference.
That sounds great.
So good.
That being said, any other wonderful words of wisdom on the...
Or what?
Hang on. I was looking through the emails that come in, but we dealt with those last two.
Oh, I have a quick question. Somebody asked me one time, there's a quote in your book, stay until you've learned the lesson and can't stay anymore. They always ask me, what are the lessons? A lot of people are confused about lessons.
It's the difference between waltzing and boxing.
When you say, Pat, to stay until you cannot stay, that means don't leave too soon or you will not get the lesson.
That's exactly right. What I want you to do is get my book, Getting to I Do, followed by the other books, because I've written a number of them.
Staying Married and Loving It.
Mm-hmm. What?
Staying Married and Loving It is after Getting to I Do. Then,
totally.
Then A Man's World and A Woman's Universe. And your early book, Pat, is so wonderful on community.
Conversational Rape.
Conversational Rape.
That's the one right after I got my doctoral degree. By the way, in case any of you are interested, my thesis is semantic, androgynous, semantic,
syntactic realignment.
Right. In other words, I help you communicate, use words in ways that are loving.
And that's the base of that work comes through in all your books and all your teachings and all the tips. And through the Want Institute, you can go on drpatallen.com and you can find various YouTubes to watch and videos to watch some of her work. And
particularly one, Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication.
Yes.
That one, if I can jump in, you can watch that no charge on our website, www.drpatallen.com. There's a link that says free advice. It's a little red tab. You can go down there. It's like a 45-minute video on chemistry, compatibility, and communication.
Good, 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 good.
Tell us a little bit more about your books, Pat. And your
Which one?
Well, you pick one. Pick your
Conversational Rape.
Fabulous.
It's a book about people that fight with intimidation, guilt, and shame. If you're with a gamey person, whether it's your mom or dad, sister, brother, you need fighting tools. I'm a transactional analyst certified, We're an international system of communication.
So we are an international system of communication, which is transactional analysis.
She just dropped off again. Sorry.
So I'm going to finish her sentence.
Okay.
There she is. Okay, here she is again.
Transactional analysis. Eric Byrne took Sigmund Freud and put them together in a different way, which is what I studied and am certified as a transactional analyst. I am a trained marriage, family, child therapist. I'm an addiction specialist in two powerfully addictive systems.
One moment, audience. She'll be right back on. We are having technical difficulties. Oh. Yep.
Susan, where did I get dropped off?
You were talking about the transactional analysis, Eric Byrne's work.
I am a transactional analyst. I am built and trained to teach you how to love and to negotiate with the people in the world without being intimidating, without being seducing with guilt and shame, but loving and cherishing and respecting one another. Come on, people, let's get it.
And this is what you've been teaching for all these years, for people to communicate rationally rather than fighting, and that is negotiation. And
that's right.
That's the beauty of this work and how people can learn to navigate their relationships with healthy communication tools.
Five tools. Five. First of all, you got to find out, does your partner want to be respected first or cherished first? Then you got to find out the second question, are they career first, home second, or home first, career seconds, or both, which means there's four people and they are not intimate because they're too equal.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They're too gamey.
Right. And what you like to say too, Pat, and when people in your former classes, you used to ask people, do you want to be cherished? Or do you want to be cherished first, and you want to be cherished or masculine? And they would raise their hand for both, and then you would say, then you're a narcissist.
Which means you're a 10 and everybody around you is a 0. I want you to be a 5 and a 5. Either you're respectable or cherishable. Give me a try. Because it works, and if you use it at work, it even works better. I'm having a great deal of reports that people are using the five tools. They're using the tools at work, and they're working better.
The tools work everywhere, work, at home, at play. So the tools can be learned through the Want Institute groups and info@drpatallen.com. Here she is.
I'm here. I want people to assume that this is the way this show is going to go for a few months until people get the hang of what I'm doing.
It'll be just fine. Just don't touch the dials. Don't touch the phone. It's all good. Sue, do you have anything to add?
No. Just I think it's a slow time with the Christmas season. As you know, me and Patricia will start in the next couple months. We'll start taking calls and answering questions to help Dr. Allen so she can transform into lowering her workload. She will be supervising us on the air, but we will be carrying the message on for the future and on.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we're just transforming now. Patricia and I are just kind of being supervised on the radio, and we want all of you to call in. I work especially with women dating, getting out there on the dating apps. Oh, I think we have a caller.
We do.
Oh, hello. Good.
Hello. Hi. Hi, guys.
What can we do?
Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
I have a question about toxic people, game playing people. My wife and I have a situation where it's my sister-in-law is. She likes to do these gamey things, and the latest one was kind of ruffled our feathers, but not enough. You know, we've basically what happened is she got married in, it was an international destination wedding down in Mexico, and the whole family went down there, and this was back in November, and the last 6 months leading up to this, she had like my wife and her girlfriends over, doing a bachelorette party and all these events that at pretty good cost along the way, like normal, and then at the wedding they had all the fun things at the wedding, and then about midnight they were saying their vows to the audience, and at the end she says, so this was in November, and this wedding weekend was not only my wife and I, our anniversary weekend, so that's fine. We're like, if she wants to pick the same weekend, we don't really like it, but it's who are we to say when she wants to get married? So that's fine. We accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And
her
brother.
It was a,
what is your question?
Well, the question is how to handle. She did something we really don't like, which is she announced to everybody at the end
did
of the wedding that they...
Did you have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer?
No.
No, it wasn't like that. No, she announced to everybody at the wedding that they already had gotten married, and this was just, surprise, we got married, and this was
a formality.
Yeah, it was basically a formality, and...
What is the question
yes.
you're
What is
asking?
The problem?
Okay, well, we have to deal with her,
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Okay, though, I guess that's what I'm asking.
You write her a hi-bye letter. Yeah. In that letter, the first statement is, you and your wife, we are sending you this letter to tell you our thoughts and feelings about our relationship with you. The first paragraph is anything that you like about her, anything, her chicken soup, whatever. Always give gamey people a stroke for existence, because someplace in their childhood, they were not allowed to be a human being. They were trained to be a doormat, and they're fighting everybody on the planet. So the first paragraph is everything or anything you like about her. The second paragraph is the pain of the intimidation, guilt, and shame games. The third paragraph is, we don't want to relate to you as long as you don't talk in a loving, negotiable way. We want to be friends, relatives, period. But unless you're willing to love through language, we are done with you.
Did that answer your question, caller?
Right. Yeah, that answers the question. We did something similar to this about, a few years ago, and some other situation where she did something we didn't like. We wrote her a letter. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember if it was quite like your structure. I like your structure
Did you tell her she had a right to be gamey and herself?
Something like that. Yes, we called her out on what she did and what we didn't like. No, I don't remember if we said.
Out. Pat wants you to.
Did you tell her she had the right to do gamey things, but it was going to cost her your playtime?
We didn't use those words, but I think we said something like that.
What words did you use?
Well, we said we didn't like that you did XYZ. And there was other family involved, so we defended them when she attacked them. You know, your structure of the high bye letters is much better.
What you said to her was, we don't give you permission to do this.
That's right. Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is you have the right to do this. But this is what it costs you.
Okay.
Do you see the difference, caller? A person has a right to be a jerk, and you have a right to not want to play with them.
Oh, completely. That's
the point. The point of the way Pat structures the letter is that they have a right to do A, B, C, but we're not happy with it, so we don't want to participate with you in the future if you're going to continue being that way. Are you willing to not do that, or that's the end of us? So you make a contract.
Right. No, yes, I think that's great. And so the price tag might be, after we write a letter like that, it might be, she might cause some drama behind the back, behind the family and stuff like that. That's just the way it is, right?
Right.
She might kill you. Gamey people kill people.
Right. Right.
Thank you, caller. Thank you for the call. Thank you so much. Bye for now.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Pat, thank you again. Pat, do you have some closing statement for us, please?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else.
Okay. Sue?
I think she just ended. That's prematurely.
But we're starting the next. Go ahead.
Shall I say it again?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I love this show. It was clumsy, chaotic, creative, and lovable.
Thank you, Pat. We'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Great.
Bye for now. And
bye.
Stick with us for the next hour.
Okay. Good evening. Thank you for joining us for the second hour. This part, we're going to do Patricia Eltage is an author, dream analysis, and transactional analysis. We'll be taking your calls about nighttime dreams. Patricia will be explaining how to capture your dreams, what dream symbols represent, and how through understanding the messages that our dreams give us, we can improve our relationships and our lives. You can purchase Patricia's groundbreaking book on Amazon. It's called The Dream Class. Oh. Know your dreams, know yourself. By Patricia Eltage. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Patricia, please let our audience know a little bit about you and the work in the field of dreams.
Well, I've been doing this work for over 25 years, and thank you for plugging my book. That's very nice. And it's a beautiful book, and people have also said that it's a coffee table style book as well, besides all the fabulous information. And the work that I do, that Pat collaborated with me on this book for several years, and that is bringing to the dream sector the masculine and feminine, which is unique, and how we dream in terms of our masculine energies, which is our workplace, our productivity, and that masculine side of us, and then our feeling centeredness, the feminine side of us. So our dreams are symbols. They come to us in these wild, sometimes wild and kooky. People always say, I have the weirdest dream. And the dreams come to us symbolically for us to decipher, to help us navigate our waking lives. So I teach people to connect the dots from their dream world to their waking life. And that is how we access our own subconscious mind and help us resolve our relationship issues, because people often ruminate. And when you're ruminating, you're going back and forth. Should I? Shouldn't I? I don't know what I should do. I'm stuck. This is bothering me, but I don't know what to do about it. But when you start understanding your dreams, you really come to more clear decision making and clarity about your relationships, how you're navigating people at your workplace, and all the family issues that come up too. So I am waiting for callers to come in.
I think we have, Sam is working the switchboard. We have a couple of callers that are waiting to, I had a couple of people that wanted to have their dreams. So we will have them, Sam's calling people back. If you call in, remember that Sam sees the number and he calls you back. So when you see the number, 323-203-0815, call you back. Please make sure you pick up. Let's see. So also, Patricia also does life scripts, along with Patricia. Pat does life scripts too. So if you're interested in life scripts, oh, we have a caller here. Caller, you're on the
air. Please leave your message for Patricia.
Leave your call. Have your phones ready. And that number, if you put that number 323-203-0815 in your
phone, yes,
if you put that in your contacts, it won't go automatically to voicemail. Sometimes your phone reads it as spam.
Hello.
Hi. I'm here for you. This is Patricia waiting to hear a dream from you.
Oh, hi. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Great to hear your voice. So I'm calling in. I've called in before. So I had another dream about my ex-boyfriend.
About what? I'm sorry.
About my ex-boyfriend.
About the ex-boyfriend. Okay. And yes. Can you give me a clue as to his character type in a nutshell?
I would say like he's really evasive and, you know, evasive, avoidant.
Okay, got it. So carry on.
Okay, so in the dream, we were working in the same building. We actually used to work in the same building. We don't anymore, but so in the dream, it was kind of like we're back working in the same building, and I'm naked in the dream. Mm-hmm. But nobody really says anything about it, but I'm very aware of this, you know? So I'm naked in the dream, and, you know, I want to have a civil or like a good conversation with him. But every time we talk, like every time I open my mouth, like just anger comes out. Like it always turns into a fight.
Is that in the dream or waking life?
It's in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess waking life too. But so yeah, in the dream. So just, you know, we just can't seem to just even have a regular conversation.
This sounds like a combative relationship.
Yeah, it was at the end.
Yes, okay.
So, you know, but I was really frustrated because I
Hello?
Words out of my mouth, but somehow, like, I managed to be like, you know, we should go out to dinner, and he's like, you know, why would we do that? You know? And I'm like, I have no idea. We could just try, you know? So he's like, okay. So we decided to go out to dinner. Now he has a truck. I get in the back of the truck because I just want to feel like the warm summer air on my body or something.
You were in the back of a pickup truck?
Yeah. A pickup truck just with like in the open air.
Yes.
And I was laying on my back. So I'm like looking up at the moon. And he's driving down the freeway, just going fast. It feels good. And I see far up in the sky, I see a kite. And it's a jellyfish kite. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. And then it starts to descend. And it descends and it descends. And it goes right into the bed of the truck. And it goes like, pow. And it just like lands right on my chest. It doesn't like hurt or anything. But it's like, it's almost like soft. It was just like, wow, there's a jellyfish kite. And I sit up, I show it to my ex-boyfriend, and he's like, oh, wow, that's so magical. And I'm like, that's cool. And now, so now I have this kite. And then I lay back down and I'm looking up and there's another kite. Anyway, this happens three times. So three times I see a kite. It turns out to be a jellyfish. Mm-hmm. And then the jellyfish lands on my chest. And then I have a kite. And then we're both like, wow, that's really magical. Mm-hmm. And we're still like driving to the restaurant. And that's pretty much the end of the dream.
Okay. Well, the first
that I remember.
What?
I said that's pretty much what I remember.
Okay. Well, it's starting out. You're talking, and when people are in your dreams, they all represent aspects of yourself. So when you're having this dream, I try to help you connect the dots between waking life and your dream life. So what was going on, what is going on in your waking life where you are, the aspect of him is an aspect of yourself. So you're saying he's a combative person, or this relationship was combative and he was tended to be a negative combative person, you're saying, in a nutshell?
Well, he just ghosted me basically. So just pretty much, you know, we just stopped talking.
He's like, not a communicator, but he represents that right. aspect of yourself. So we pay attention to these characters in our dreams because we say to ourselves, where is it in my life that have this behavior? So that is, he represents some feeling side of you where you're feeling the feeling represented by that character. So he said, and that character is the one who's driving the car, the truck, and cars in our dreams represent our way through life. So something in his character type is how you are conducting your life and conducting your life in that way. But there's another aspect of you, which is the masculine side of you represented by you. But in this dream also, you're naked. And I love that because when we are nude in our dreams, that's the lack of clothing is also you're free of persona. That is your authentic self. So in this dream, your authentic self is represented by your masculine side. So do you operate primarily out of your masculine? Are you the doer, the productive person, and are you a little bossy maybe?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what this is, but that's your true, that is your authentic self. You're going out then in the back of the truck and wanting to feel the air, you tell me, but what's coming down on when things are up high in the air, now we're talking about more masculine, that's height. When things are up like a kite, that is more of your masculine, but it's starting to come down to earth, come down into your feminine. And the fact that it's a jellyfish is interesting because that's representing something that comes from the sea. Now, it's not the sea. Water elements in our dreams are representational of our sensual, sexual relationship side of life. So you're out there in the exposing yourself and being your authentic self, but you are single. You're in the bed of the truck by yourself. Now you're getting slapped with like a hello sign. Are you neglecting the relationship, sensual, sexual side of your life? And it's going to slap you on the head, slap you on the chest if you don't pay attention. So are you neglecting your sensual, sexual side of yourself?
I don't think so. I mean, I definitely I just came back from like the sauna and stuff. Like I've been really trying to focus at least on the sensual part. Now the sexual part, I'm not really neglecting it, but I don't.
Are you focusing on trying to be in a relationship since this ex-boyfriend, it didn't seem like that was working out because you were combative, you say?
Yeah. I'm dating. I'm not really feeling it, but I'm duty dating. So
you're duty dating and the kite. That's why the kite jellyfish kites are slapping you in the chest, but they're not really doing it for you. That's if you have a dream where you're actually in the water and not having just water creatures, that's what the duty dating is. It's the slapping the kite. you're duty dating, so that's in your head. You're doing it by rote. You're experimenting out there. So one jellyfish, two jellyfish, it's like kissing frogs.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay, that makes sense.
So that's where you're at with that, and that depicts that perfectly. But how are you going to allow yourself to be vulnerable and let men know that you can be in the vulnerable? Are you willing to be in the feminine position in a relationship and not fight with men?
I'm willing, yes, I'm willing. It hasn't worked out very well, but I'm trying, so.
Caller, we've got other people on the caller.
Thank you, caller. Good for you.
Oh, okay.
Good dream.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Sorry, we've got a bunch of callers on the line waiting, so I'm not sure if you can see Patricia, but
no.
Sam's got, okay, we have another caller that will be calling on.
Good. Hello, how are you? Oh, they just left that one. Okay.
Yeah, that one's just left. We've got callers calling in. Okay, we have a caller here. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm waiting to hear a dream from you.
Okay, so hold on a second.
Yeah, that one's just...
Okay,
we have a caller here. Caller, you're on the air with...
Can you turn down your background noise?
Hello. Oh, okay, we mute it.
How are you?
To mute the back noise, thank you.
Did it mute? No, it didn't.
No, we still have it.
I'm hearing the background noise. You have to turn the other device off.
Okay, now?
Yes, that's good.
Okay, great. All right, so my dream is, so my friend and I went to the ER. We drove separately in separate cars. We go there at the same time, and then I looked back, and his car wasn't there. Like, when I look back in my rearview mirror, the car wasn't there. And then when I turned the corner, he wasn't behind me anymore. And then we ended up parking in separate parking lots in the area. And then I was walking to the ER, and then he came in through another door of the ER. And then somehow we walk in together, and I don't know which one of us was going to be seen, because neither one of us were injured or anything like that. But we walk in, and the waiting room was full, and there was nowhere to sit, and so we walked around, like, the lobby or whatever it was, looking for, like, a seat, but there was no seats, and we were, I passed by a lady that was dying on a gurney, and people just kept on staring at us as we were, like, looking for our seats, and then in, like, this other section of the waiting room, we find two seats together in an adjacent room, and then we sit down, and that's, like, when I woke up. So I have, like, no idea.
Who is the partner? Who is the person you're there with?
It was just a platonic friend of mine, like a guy friend.
A guy friend. Okay. Well, that both of you, they represent both sides of yourself, your masculine and feminine sides. But where is it in your life that you think you need emergency care? This is emergency care. In reality, emergency care, but there's some kind of a 911 here that's alerting you to pay attention to something you want to fix. So what is it in your life you want fixed?
What is it? I mean, there's many areas, but I think maybe like, no.
You think you're in some ways your subconscious mind is alerting you to, maybe that's why you called us to get help, because you're seeking help in navigating your life, and you're seeking in the emergency room, and you are seeing when, now what I want to know, what, because when death is in a dream, you said you saw a dead person.
Yeah, yep. There was an old lady, like an elderly, not elderly, but like, I guess middle-aged or whatever, maybe 50s, 60s,
mm-hmm.
Dying on a gurney. She was like in a blanket, and like nobody was taking care of her, and she was just like laying there, and then there was just nobody tending to her.
Did she look like anyone you knew?
Not really. She just looked like a middle-aged woman, and
what age range are you?
I'm in my 40s.
Okay, so this woman was older than you that was dying, because death in dreams is very important. That means some aspect of yourself you're letting go. So are you cleaning house, so to speak, in your world where you're allowing aspects of yourself to let go and experiment with new behaviors, new attitudes?
I think so, yeah. I mean, things are going in a positive direction for me as far as like going back to school and everything like that. So,
Well, since it was a woman that was dying in this ER, that's some older version of a masculine, your masculine side, and you're letting go maybe of some parts of your masculine that no longer served you. So what I ask people to do is contemplate on the symbols that come up in the dreams once I reflect them to you, so you can see, where am I doing this and where am I growing and having some transformation in my life that is making my life better. Absolutely, and just calling in this show is like ER. Doing the right thing. Thank you, caller. I think we're ready for another caller, Sue.
Oh, that's a great one. Let's see. Sam is on the switchboard. He'll do some calls. Let's see. That one just left. Mm-hmm. So we have the callers 323-203-0815. I think we may even have some callers that are not for dreams as well, if we want to take a
hello.
Oh, hi. We have a caller. You're on the air with Patricia. What is your dream?
Well, hi, Patricia. I don't usually do this, but I heard how fabulous you were at this, so this is a first-time caller.
Let's go.
Okay. Well, all my life, I've never dreamt of anybody who's passed away in my life. My father, grandfather, and and friends, anybody who's passed away. And all of a sudden, for the last 2 months, I'm having dreams of all these people.
Which people? I want to know who the characters are, because our dreams are just filled with people from central casting and our own personal central casting, and they mean something, but they're not them. So let's see who they are and who they might represent as aspects of yourself. So who are they?
Oh, my father.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And my father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
A couple ex-boyfriends from a long time ago.
So these are all male figures?
Random people.
But they're not random. No, the dreams aren't random, but these are all male figures that you're seeing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the male figures in our dreams represent our feeling-centered side of ourself. So that's, I want to ask you, each character has an attribute that, in a nutshell, how would you describe what's happening when you're dreaming of, they're coming into your dream, but are they dying in your dream, or are they just coming forth?
They're just coming forth.
They're coming forth. Are they, and they're all at once, or one dream has one and one dream has another?
One dream has one dream has another.
Okay, so that being said, if you can relate, then pick one dream and we'll do it that way so you can see how it works. Pick one and which character that is.
My father.
Okay, so can you describe him in a nutshell, his character attributes?
Well, he was wild and crazy.
Okay, so that's coming... You have all these different characters in your dream are representational of aspects of yourself. So the wild and crazy side of you is appearing. And what's the scenario when that character showed up in the dream?
I can't really remember. I just know I wake up and I go, wow, why did I dream about that person?
Well, this is why I teach people to, first of all, I ask people to buy the book, the dream class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. And in chapter 7 specifically, we teach how to capture your dreams. And you keep a pad by your bed. You keep your eyes closed upon waking. And you scribble down the images, that's when you are in your Lyman state. That's the state of consciousness between sleeping and waking. And that's when you can capture the dream. And then you can work. That's where the dream work begins. But you can't rely on your wakefulness, your waking life, to remember a dream, because it disappears as soon as you open your eyes. You are out of that state of consciousness. So I ask people to keep their eyes closed for that 3 to 4 minute period. It only lasts 3 to 4 minutes. Anyway, do not open your eyes upon waking. Keep your eyes closed. Scribble a couple of notes with your eyes closed. And you will start to develop it with a practice. This is a practice like learning to do anything, learning yoga, learning an instrument. And you will be able to capture the dream in a better sense. And you'll know how aspects of yourself are showing up in these characters in your waking life. I help you connect the dots from your dream life to your waking life, and how you are truly thinking and feeling about the way you're navigating through your waking life. And this is how we help people to catapult their personal growth. It's amazing.
Okay. Okay, well, it sounds interesting. I'll call you back. And how do I buy your book?
Amazon, no, The Dream Class by Patricia L. Tinge. We have another caller. Thank you, caller. And call again.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
We're ready for another caller.
It takes a couple minutes for Sam to connect with the other callers. That one just ended, so.
Good. Okay. Yeah,
there's always a little transition here.
Okay, well, that's where the dream work happens. It's the dreams start coming through to our conscious mind right at that point of waking. So we have to keep our eyes closed, and then you'll be able to capture your dreams. And you get better at it with practice. And all of a sudden, people have been working with me for years.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice.
Oh. Next victim. here we go.
Oh, here we go. We have another caller here.
Hello. Oh. Hi.
Let's have your dream.
Okay, well, I had a dream, and last week I tried to call, but I couldn't get on, and it was very...
Wait, you have to speak into the... I can't hear you, you're muffled.
It was very specific. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to turn off my radio, so...
Please do that. Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So I had a very specific dream, and I actually wrote it down, which I never do, and this time I did. So great. I would like to read it, if I could.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't expect an answer. I've been calling, so. Okay. Here we go. I don't know, but I was somewhere on the street. I think it seemed like New York City. And I met a man, and it turned out to be Brad Pitt. But people weren't recognizing him for some reason, and it was all by chance. There was a black cat with us, which I think was him also, because there were times when the cat would change into Brad Pitt. He had all these tickets for a concert at the Hollywood Bowl that he needed to sell or get rid of. Before he sold them, we ended up in a restaurant and met several women. We all hung out, and he was very gentlemanly to everyone, but still no big fuss like you'd expect. I sat with the women for a second, and then one asked me what my story was. She used some long word. It started with a T, and I didn't know what it meant, but she was asking me about my story. I said I didn't really want to go into that, and then I went back to sit with Brad. He was very cordial with everyone, but there was a feeling that we were hanging out that day. It was a fact. Then the women, it turns out that there was a mother and a daughter, both older. We drove the mother home because she wanted to go home. But then we went outside, and he was standing there quietly selling tickets and making lots of money. Something happened. Well, he turned into the cat again, and I helped him turn back. I was holding his pants, and when the cat would get into the pants, he would turn into him again. He sold lots of tickets, and then he drove the mom home, and the daughter came with us to the bowl. He was so glad that he had the tickets, that he sold the tickets, and said, and I made some good money. When we were walking there, the daughter became really annoying and started telling us her victim story And he and I looked at each other and said, no way, we cannot listen to this. Then I went somewhere to change into my pink thong underwear that I had bought that day, actually. And one side, the right side of it, tore. Luckily, I had another pair with me, so I changed. We went to the concert and had so much fun. I was secretly admiring him, and we had lots of chemistry, but he was a perfect gentleman. Then I went out to use the bathroom, and I called my sister, who passed away in 2005. She said, yes, someone called from the bowl and said that Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. were looking for me. They were looking for you, for me. Then she was there with me and said, come with me to meet him. I asked if she'd come meet him, and she didn't want to meet Brad Pitt. I went down to find him, and the music at this point was some horrible, really bad heavy metal music, and everyone was leaving. But we found each other, and then the stupid alarm woke me up.
Okay. Well, how would you, for you, now our dreams are very personal. So Brad Pitt might mean one thing to somebody, but something else to somebody else. So how do you view the Brad Pitt character in as a person or as a character? How do you put him in a nutshell? To you only, just to you.
Right. I didn't see him anymore. I don't know why I dreamt about him.
No, but I don't know. I'm asking why. I'm asking you to just.
I know you're asking that.
A nutshell is to just as a described.
I believe it's the feminine part of me wanting to come out.
No, I'm not asking you to analyze the dream. I'm asking you to describe Brad Pitt in a nutshell.
He's good looking, famous.
Okay. So you like?
I like him, but I'm not like, oh my God, he's the
okay.
Most
so this is an aspect of yourself. Everyone in our dreams is an aspect of ourselves. So you view him in a positive light. You think he's good looking. So this is how you view your feminine side of yourself, your feeling centeredness. So you are in this dream feeling good about yourself, high self-esteem, and you're in this scenario where you're self. Now, who's the one who changed from a cat to a person back and forth?
Brad Pitt.
That's the Brad Pitt character. Okay.
Yes.
So. When you're changing into a cat, that is ultra feminine. That's the feminine side of you. So then you're like ultra feminine. There are sides of you, but you're also selling tickets, and that's a masculine act of selling things. So how in connecting to your waking life, are you in the business world somehow, but sometimes you're in your feminine, but then you're in your masculine? Are you going back and forth from your masculine and your feminine in waking life?
I'm sure working on it.
Okay. Well, you're working, and everyone who's working, do you work?
I work to pay my bills and take care of myself, but I want to be a woman with a career, not a career woman.
Okay, but you are working. So when you are working, you're in your masculine. And you're and so in this dream, there's some ticket selling going on, and then you go into your feminine. So it sounds like you are navigating your masculine to your feminine, and you're able to do that with ease. I'm doing business, and then I'm in my feminine. I'm enjoying who I am, because Brad Pitt is a positive image for you, and so I see this as a positive dream of you. Being able to transform from your masculine to your feminine, and you seem to be doing that. Are you dating? Are you in a relationship?
No, I'm not in a relationship. I'm very single and am a little older, so I don't seem to do well on dating sites, and I go out to flirt, and sometimes I meet people, they don't follow through. They don't follow up.
I understand. But in this dream, you are happy with yourself because you are enjoying where you're at. So I don't see this dream does not reflect distress.
Oh, well, that's good.
It just
I really don't want to be single anymore.
You don't want to be single anymore. So then what we do is we focus on what we want in life generally, and go out there and attract.
Mm-hmm.
Attract in the world. Thank you for calling with your dream, caller.
You're welcome. Thank you for helping me.
Thank you.
We do have more callers. We have to get one off the line and add the next one. So let Sam be at the switchboard calling. The number again is 323-203-0815. We'll be taking more calls. Great job, Patricia.
Well, thank you. I love
pointing these people right away.
I love doing what I do, and I will carry on and help people get in touch with what they have really thinking.
We've got another caller here.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi.
Go ahead, caller.
What can I do for you? I want to hear your dream.
Hello, Patricia.
Hi.
Hi. I've called you before, and you really helped me, so I really enjoy these sessions.
Well, thank you for calling in.
I wanted to talk to you about the dreams that I have been having lately have to do with water.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm either having water leaks or I'm swimming.
Oh.
There's a lot of water in my dreams. What does that mean?
I love dreams with water images. And if I get I can help you. Water dreams are a barometer of where you're at in your sensual, sexual relationship side of life. So if you're dreaming of, did you say water leaks? Well, if you're dreaming of a water leak, we're talking about there's minimal action going on. And what other type of water images do you have besides water leaks?
I've been swimming in the ocean, which I do not do.
Mm-hmm. So then
in my dream, I've been swimming in the ocean, lived by the ocean for 20 years and went in twice.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your dreams, you're either ready to, or you are. Are you in a relationship now?
No.
No. Well, when did you have the most recent in the water dream?
A few nights ago.
Well, are you preparing yourself to possibly want to be in a relationship?
Sure, I'd love to.
So you are in the frame of mind and you're in your feeling-centered place that you could be receptive to being in a relationship.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, so that's dream. If you're dreaming you're in the water, see who's out there and start practicing and duty dating, and you're ready. You're ripe for the picking.
So does duty dating mean that you just go out with anyone who asks you?
Well,
that's correct. Yeah.
That's just about, unless they're wearing an orange jumpsuit.
No,
or a wanted poster.
Yeah, right. Someone from the post office wanted poster.
Wanted poster. You go out with any eligible man just for practice so that you know how to talk and communicate when the right man comes.
There you go. So you're familiar with the work of Dr. Pat Allen and the WAN Institute?
Somewhat, yes.
Yes, okay. So you know a bit about duty dating? Okay. Well, get out there, Tiger Lily. You're ready.
And it really, in some cases, it really is a duty.
We understand, but you get better at anything with practice. Dreaming, dating. Okay. Thank you, caller. We have some more calls.
Thank you.
Speaking of duty dating, there is the movie. It was done in 1995, Duty Dating. On Dr. Allen's work, it was written by Cherry Norris. I believe it's available if you Google it. You can watch it for free. It gives you all the ideas of what duty dating is. It's a great movie. It was advertised back then, and it was a great movie to watch. Oh, we have another caller here. You're on the air with Patricia with your dream.
How are you?
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. So this dream, I think it's pretty obvious what it means, but I would love your interpretation.
Thank you. Let me be the judge of that.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So it's a recurring dream for me, and I am about 6 or 7, and I'm at the park with my older sister and my mom and my dad. And I think it was my sister's like baseball game or something, because she's in like some baseball softball clothes and she has like a bat in her hand. And we're walking back to the car. Like the game is over and we're all walking back to the car. And there's a hill in between the baseball field and the parking lot where all the cars are. And I'm small, but I could see the cars, but it's kind of like above my head. And so we all start walking up the hill towards the car, and I'm smaller, so they're moving faster than me, but I'm not really concerned because I'm still moving behind them. But I'm noticing that the hill is, I can't get up it. So I kind of fall down the hill. And then kind of like a running start, chase them. You know, I take a few steps back and then I take a running start to try to get up the hill with some momentum. And I'm watching them go away, and they don't see that I'm falling behind. And so I fall back down the hill again. And I do that about 3 or 4 times of just trying to get like a running start and get up the hill so that I can continue walking on with them. But it doesn't work. And there's a gate at the top of the hill that kind of separates the ballpark with the parking lot. And I can run really fast and all my momentum run up this little hill and like almost touch the gate. And the door of the gate is like swung open, and that part I can grasp a little bit easier because it's shorter than the rest of the gate, but I still can't grab. I think I've like nicked it with my finger 1 or 2 times, but I can't get it. And then because I'm now hyper focused on getting up the hill, now my parents and my sister are gone. Like I can't see them anymore.
Let me ask you this. And you're a child in this dream, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you're an adult now. How old are you now, approximately? What age range? Just give me a general.
I'm 44
now. Okay. So in this dream, it's representing some emerging side of yourself in the business productivity side of your life. Are you striving for something in a workplace or in your what you do for productivity? Are you trying to
no,
do something? This dream indicates, well, you said it's a repetitive dream, did you?
Yeah, mostly when I was a kid, though. I haven't had it in a long time.
Here's what's happening. You had this as a kid. Were your parents, when you were growing up, commending you when you were doing something right and had accolades, or were you cherished for just your very existence as a little girl, as a girl, or were you expected to perform and do better?
I mean, I think I was completely neglected. I don't have memories of my childhood.
Okay. This has to do with your self-esteem, that you don't feel good enough and you've been trying your whole life to go at it from the masculine, trying to go up into your head, go up. When you're going up in a dream, you're going into your masculine and you're trying to do it from the masculine side of things, trying to, well, if I do better, maybe I'll be loved. Maybe I'll get there and I'll be accepted and I'll be with the family who left me behind. This is a bit of a PTSD dream. If you said you felt neglected because they did leave you behind, and you've been striving but going at it the wrong way. And what we are wanting you to do is get you in touch with your feminine, go all the way back down to the bottom of the hill, so to speak, and be happy being at the bottom of the hill and see who shows up. So if you, when I'm helping people with PTSD, I'm helping people get in touch with their feelings and that they're okay without performance.
Okay.
That's, so can you relate to that?
Yes, extremely. And that just the thought of going back down to the hill, at the bottom of the hill, mm-hmm. and not trying to get back to them, like it's like terror.
It's like terror?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfamiliar for you to be in your feminine. I want you to start being in touch with it in your waking life, that it's okay to be in your feminine feeling centeredness.
Okay.
Feel your feelings and go about your life, but from your feeling centeredness. You don't have to do it by proving yourself.
Okay. That's so mind-boggling to me. I can just feel my... Can you repeat that? Feel my feelings, but not...
Feel your feelings and be okay with feeling your feelings and being okay with not needing to perform to be accepted or loved.
Okay. You can... This will be on our... archive, so you can go back in and listen to it. It'll be up later tonight if you want to go back in and listen to what Patricia said.
And people can contact me for private sessions too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's helpful to know.
Thank you, caller.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, that's the end of our show, folks. We'll be back here next week at 4:00. We'll have Patricia Allen. And then at 5:15, we'll have Patricia Eltage doing dreams. Is there anything you want to say to end this show, Patricia?
I want to say every night when you go to sleep, tell yourself that you want to have an answer to one of your questions to navigate your life. And in the morning, you'll have some symbol will come forth. And sweet dreams, everyone.
Thank you. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.